Blog Talk Radio.
Praise shall continually be in my mouth, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor C.W. Chief Porter, coming to you from the city of Orlando, Florida, and all the surrounding areas. So glad to be with you, and you again today. However you're listening to us, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to us. And listen, while you're taking the time, call us at 347-857-3925. Call us and let us know just how you're doing, really doing what you're expecting God to do also for you, and whether you enjoy the broadcast or not. Just give us a little call now and leave a prayer request. You know, we want your prayer request. So thank you. We love you. We really do.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords. You're that conquering Lion of Judah. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord. Father, clothing our right mind, Lord. Father, knowing that no day is promised to us, Lord. Father, we say thank you for giving us this chance, this gift, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you, asking you, Father, for forgiveness and all those that we're praying for, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord Father, you know each and every person, name by name, Lord Father. You know what they're in need of, Lord. And Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord Father. We're thanking you, Father God, for your healing right now, Lord Father. We thank you for being their way maker. We thank you for just making ways out of no ways for them right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you, Lord Father, the family of the little girl Cupcake, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord Father, to continue to give them peace right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. All those, Lord Father, that has lost loved ones, Father. Father, give them the comfort, Lord Father, that they need right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Comfort them right now. Give them the peace right now, Lord, the peace that pass all understanding, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you Prophet Bostic right now, Lord Father. Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father, to touch him right now from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. Father God, touch his body right now, Lord Father. Father, as we speak healing to his body, we say thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we hold before you Prophet Hunt right now, Lord Father. Father God, touch right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet right now, Lord Father, we thank you for healing right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to continue to touch them right now, Lord Father. Father, for they are your men of God, Lord Father. Father, let the warring and minister angels, Father God, stand guard round about them, Lord Father, knowing that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, Lord. And we say thank you. We glorify and magnify you, Lord Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise today, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you, Lord Father, Patricia right now, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord Father God, to touch, Lord Father God, her right now from the crown of her head, Father, to the soles of her feet. Father God, touch her unborn child right now, Lord Father. Father, you know what she's in need of, Lord Father. Cover her, Lord Father, under the blood, Lord Father. Protect, Lord Father, her unborn child right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father God, for her going full term right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we cancel all complications right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord Father, for, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We pray for the Mariah family right now, Lord Father. Father, touch the children right now, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, touch them from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet. Father, we bless your name. We magnify your name, Lord Father. Father, shield and protect them, and they're going in and they're coming out, Lord Father. Father, as they continue, Lord Father, to go into school, we cancel the assignment of bullying right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for shielding and protecting them. Allow their warring and minister angels to continue to stand guard round about them right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise this day. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for touching root, Lord Father. Continue, Lord Father, to touch, Lord Father God, every nerve in her body, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for the blood flowing freely through and through her body right now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we hold before you Felicia Dungy, Lord Father. Touch right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against, Lord Father God, that stage 3 kidney disease, Lord Father. Knowing, Lord Father, that by your stripes we are healed and nothing is too hard for you, Lord Father. Touch her body right now, Lord Father. Touch her body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, touch her mind right now, Lord. Touch her mind right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, touch Pastor Dungy right now, Lord Father. Touch her body as well right now from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. You know what's going on, Lord Father. We thanking you right now for touching her body, Lord. For you say healing is the children's bread, Lord Father. And Father, we thanking you for answering and hearing prayers this day, Lord. Father, knowing, Lord, Father God, that you're merciful, Lord. Father, those, Lord, Father, that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, Father, upon this prayer list, Lord. Father, those that are listening to you, Lord, Father, right now on this broadcast or at a later date, Lord, Father, we ask you, Lord, Father, to continue to touch their hearts. Let them not leave this earth and go into a Christless grave, Lord, Father. But, Father God, they accept you as their Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we hold before you this broadcast right now, Lord, covering it under the blood right now, giving it back to you. Father, we ask you to show up and show out, Lord, canceling every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast today, Father, and we render it null and void, Lord, Father. Father, I ask that you decrease my apostle and pastor, Lord, Father, as you increase in them, Lord. Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for the word that is coming forth today. Give us the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God today for you, you, and you. Now, did you hear your name? If you didn't, we send the word to you today also. And we add a footnote today of prayer also. We pray for the nations that are in unrest. We pray for our country also in its unrest. And we pray for our neighborhoods, which is in unrest. We are just praying for so many. We are praying for those that have been through so much tragedies and devastation all over the place. We are praying for them also today and trusting that God will heal, deliver, and set them free and set a lot of people free from themselves. You know, they need to be free from themselves also. And we thank God for you. Oh, yes, we thank God for you. Call your friend. Call your enemy. Call all of them. Just call them. Tell them, come on, listen. Tell them to listen now. Today, praise God. We don't know how God's going to bless, you know, bless you and them. What they need, they may hear, you know. Don't be selfish. Just call your friends. Call the people to come listen. You know, listen the same as you listen. You know, if you get something out of it, why don't you be nice and let somebody else have some too, right? Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't be wonderful? Okay, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We do thank God. We do thank God for you being here today. We really do, yes. Now, let us just give you a little word before we get really started. The handiest place to start being happy is here. The best time to begin being nice is now. The handiest place to start being happy is here. The best time to begin being nice is now. You want to be happy, nice and happy? By that, nice and happy. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. We thank God for you today. Yes, to being nice and happy. We thank God for Pastor Sharon being here. We thank God for the Prophet Nathan being here. Yes, yes, yes. We thank God for Sister Diane being here. And most of all, we thank God for you. Call your friends now. Call somebody. Tell them, say, come on, get on, come on, come on, come on. Let's talk today. Let's talk. Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk today. Let's have some dialogue. Well, you and I and somebody else, amen. It's a wonderful day today. Isn't it wonderful where you are? I trust that it is, you know. Trust that you have your electric on, you know, and everything else. All right. It's still on. All right. And you're praying for those that's less fortunate than you. Now, that I want you to continue to do, okay? Pray for those less fortunate than you. Is that all right? How about that? Okay, let's begin today. I tell you, it's a wonderful day to be alive. So good, isn't it? Just think about it. I woke up this morning. That's my first miracle. I opened my eyes, and here I am, still here. Yes, tell the devil, say, see, devil, I'm still here. You keep trying to snuff me out, but I am still here. Isn't that a wonderful night? My. I'm glad. Just, I don't know what else to say, but I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you are here. Those of you that are listening, you may be listening on your computer, you may be listening through Facebook or Tag or through somebody you may be listening to, you know. I'm glad. I love you. Yes, I just want you to know that today. I love you. thinking about it. You think about how the world is going now, right? And everybody wants to voice their opinion. Is that right? Everybody. And don't care where you're from, where you're going, or whatever is happening. Everyone wants to voice their opinion. So what we do? Now, you have a chance to voice your opinion. You really do have a chance to, several ways. But now listen, don't get upset because you go to church and the people won't let you say nothing. You know? Don't get upset. Find your own place to voice your opinion. Okay? Or you think, well, I can preach better than this one. I can preach better than that one or something. But when you think about it, why are we in competition? What are we doing in competition? God didn't tell us to be in competition. He just told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go because I'm going to preach better than you. I'll go because I know I can heal. And you know, we got all these different things that is going on in our life. And we want to do what? Somebody to hear us, don't we? I would love for somebody to hear me, too. Amen. I love that. But God has shown me that there are platforms of the world that he's given us. Okay? Platforms of the world that he's given us. And we don't pay them attention. Okay? Now today we're going to talk about Ezra. Ezra. That's a little book in the Bible called Ezra. All right? And Ezra was a priest and a scribe. That's who Ezra was. Okay, so we're going to talk about him. Okay, so he had to be an important person. Okay, he had to be very important. Okay, for God to, God called him, he wasn't in competition with nobody. He wasn't in competition with Nehemiah. Okay. Nehemiah, as a matter of fact, we're going to read from Nehemiah, see what Nehemiah say, that Ezra said. So he recorded it. You see what I'm saying? Ah, you didn't know who Ezra was. Old Testament now, Old Testament. The 8th chapter of Nehemiah say, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. See, they were working together. Okay? So what are we talking about? Ezra was presented with a platform to talk about God. See? He was presented with that platform. All right? And it'll show you here how they did it. Just how they did that. All right? Now, Nehemiah was about building the wall. That's what he was about, building the wall. He didn't go up and start to preach and he wanted to preach, somebody better let him preach or he leaving and he ain't going to build no more of the wall. You know how people do all over the place. If you don't do what they, isn't that like a bunch of children? Little children get mad like that and throw them little tantrums, don't they? Yeah, y'all don't say nothing because you must be one of them little children. Okay, all right, you ain't saying nothing today. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the Watergate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that, now see, you ain't going to sit up and say it was just for men now, are you? Huh? See, you're not going to get up and say that now. No, you're not. See what he say? Men and women. Now, this is in the Old Testament, okay? He read it before them, men and women also, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, they were not standing up paying all attention to Ezra per se, but what they were doing, what they were doing, they was paying attention to the word. How many of you go to church and you so busy looking at the preacher? Could be a young man, could be, you know, young lady, could be, you know, somebody looking good or something. You paying attention to them instead of paying attention to the word. Now, they paid attention to the word, were attentive unto the book of the law, you see. Not who Ezra was, but what Ezra was doing. He stood on that platform that was given him. Okay, now here we go. I'm going to show you where it was given him. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. You see what the pulpit made for? For you to do what? Hear the word. Hello. Hear the word. That's what it's made for, you to hear the word. And beside him stood, now listen, I can't pronounce all these names, you know, Mathiel, Shema, Ananiah, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah. They was on his right hand. And on his left hand was these, some of these names, it's hard to pronounce. Pedia and Maya and Milka, Hisham and Hashadiah and Zechariah. All these people was there with him on his left hand and on his right hand, standing up doing what? Hearing the word, hearing the word. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Now, you know why he was above, right? He was standing on a pulpit. Now, we say he was standing on a platform. The Bible says he was standing on a pulpit. Okay, so the pulpit is something where you carry the word, right? The word be it. So we call it the pulpit, and we got different names for stuff, you know, and they describe it different. So, but he was where? Standing above. When you up to the pulpit, not necessarily standing on the wood, but you're standing to the wood, in front of it, it always elevates you, don't it? Yeah. Huh? So God means for you to hear the word. Now, you know, you thought it was just man-made, right? You thought it was just these modern-day preachers fix the church up like that, and you don't want the church fixed up like that. You want the church fixed up another way. You got all these discussions about it, and hear the Bible telling you that it is so that you can be, where? Above all the people. And so each one can see you, and they can do what? Hear you, okay? And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now you see why they tell you stand when you're reading the word. I just thought I'd tell you about it. Now it's in here now. You hear? Don't start the fussing and, well, you know, I don't, why you got to do all this stuff? Because the Bible said do it. Okay? That's what they do. And you ought to do it. But now, God supplied a platform so that you and I would not be deceived. We would know what the word says. Do you get it today? This is what God wants us to be able to know what his word say. And if he designates some special person to stand up to it, to tell you what he told you in his word, then why you want to argue with it? Why you want to think, well, they ain't got no business there? How you can say that at your mouth? You don't know who God called to stand up there. And then again, you may know, okay, depending on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
See, Nehemiah knew that Ezra had a word. See, now he was sent to do what he was sent to do. Nehemiah was sent to build that wall. See, he didn't let nothing stop him from doing what he was sent to do. Now listen, see, Ezra had to do what he was there to do. Do you get it? But they all working together. Can you get the picture here today? When God set a church up, everybody is supposed to work together, not separate, not apart. And you know, the different churches also, they're not supposed to be apart, separation all the time. Every time you look, well, I can't help you, and I can't come over there, and you know, cause of this, that, or the other. Got all kind of excuses when God want us to work together. Suppose Ezra had said, no, I'm not coming and giving you up. Y'all going to have to come over here to my place. This is not it. What he said. This is not what God wants. God wants us together. See, we do a whole lot together. Do you know that? We get accomplished a lot. Do you know, I believe if the churches would have been together, hear what I said, because everybody think they are more than everybody else. And that God is the one called us all to our particular place. He called us, all right? You didn't call yourself. You didn't ordain yourself. You think you did. I know a person a long time ago, they baptized their own self. That's what they told me. They baptized themselves in the tub. Now, all these churches out here, why you couldn't go get a church to baptize you? I'm still trying to figure that one out, you know. I say, well, I ain't going to mess with that because I don't see nothing in the book told me to go baptize myself. You know. So, people do strange things because they think they are island. They only one got the truth. Nobody else got the truth. Well, you may have a truth. They may have a truth. But let's listen to the book, okay? Those that are on that platform that God made for that purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? God made that platform for that purpose, you know, for them to stand there and talk. Look, that man stood there about 6 hours. 6 hours he stood there and read. And can you imagine today? Can you see somebody doing that 6 hours in the church today, listening to the word? They don't want to stay an hour today. You see? See the difference now? They wanted to hear the word, what God had wrote. They wanted to know. And Ezra was the one to read it because he was a scribe. Nobody else could. Hey, Nehemiah didn't get up and try to read it. He just told him, you go up and read it. We gonna build you something to stand on, something to where the people can hear you and see who it is that it's not me. Because you know somebody probably was mad because they was already mad because he was building the wall. So you know now you're going to come up here talking about the word, talking about what Moses gave us and everything to us. Every time you look, there's somebody displeased about something in there. Don't care how good it is, somebody is displeased. Well, that ain't nobody I want to hear today. That ain't nothing I want to hear today. Well, I am so very sorry it's not what you want to hear, you know. But respect the platform and the people that's on the platform that God has given. Respect them. Whether you like what they say or not, give an ear to it. Something in it may come out for you. You may hear something the same way these people did. See? They listen, and they listen attentively. See? The Bible said in this terms, in this same scripture, say, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. God gave them the sense to understand. Now, isn't that something what the Bible says? Everybody ain't got sense enough to understand what's being read. You know what they tell you now? Well, if that's the King James, I don't understand it. What is it that you don't understand? Well, how you don't understand? There are the words there. Do you know how to read? Are you too busy to read? So how you don't understand it? The people are talking, reading the word as God wrote it. You see? And they he had to cause them to have sense enough to hear it and to understand it after hearing. You can't understand anything if you ain't heard nothing. If you sitting up talking to somebody, you know how people do. I don't like to sit next to nobody else that's talking to me when I'm trying to listen to the word. Because I really don't know what you're talking about, but I know what they're talking about. I'm trying to hear. Because I'm looking for a word that would help me. You see? And this is what you should do. That's why they're there. And where do the pulpit usually be at? The platform pulpit is in a position where what happened? It's above the people. See? Above the people where you can see them. Okay, you know, that's all I know. It ain't telling you about a new car today, is it? I'd like to have a new car, too. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're just talking about the respect of the house of God. They've lost the respect. They lost the respect for the preacher. Well, we can understand why with some so-called preachers that they're supposed to be preaching the gospel just to they're just using God, try and call themselves using God, because no man can use God. See what I'm saying? Nobody can use God. They call themselves using God. But then to man, they're using God for a sense to do what? Entice man to do wrong. See? This is what they do. Take either some of them take your money. Now we ain't talking about offerings and tithes and all of that which is supposed to do for the preacher and for God's house and all of that. We're not talking about that. That's why God gave you the money for to do that with, you know, to give. for the purpose. And the book start telling you about that too, how to sow so you can reap. It talks of all that, don't it? See what I'm talking about? See, we don't want to recognize the house of God, nor the articles in the house of God, furniture in the house of God. It's all for a reason. God put it that way, had it made that way, direct his people to make them that way. See? So when he present that platform, there is something to be said, something to help your condition, help your situation, help your mind. See, it helped these people's mind, Israelites' mind. See, he said, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctively, and gave the sense. My, all that reading, and they got some sense. Wow. And caused them to understand the reading. They didn't have a sense to understand before, but when they finished reading it, 6 hours of reading, you should learn something, right? You should have some kind of sense, huh? And you didn't sit in the presence of God and talk about, I hope you hurry up and shut up and sit down. I bet you didn't say a word about that. Them people didn't say that, but you do. Man, I'm tired of it. When is it going to quit? I thought it wasn't going to never stop. Huh? What about when Paul preached? Paul preached all night long. Somebody fell off the roof and he had to go heal them. Can you see that? The people were listening, so something was said. And, you know, the preacher should put the message to the point where if something be said from the scripture, not your idea of what it should be, not you trying to rewrite the Bible. The Bible is good just like it is if you follow it, the directions that it gives. See, God has made it plain for us people. Do you understand? God has really made everything plain for us, more plainer than you could expect. But I like the fact that those people accepted the word, you see. Now, listen, the Israelites, they was known as, you know, hard-headed people, and you know it had to be it had to be God for them to respond the way they did to the word. See, this is what's happening, and this is what's missing from church today, Sincerity. Be committed to hear. I'm going to say, not just committed to doing, but committed to hearing. All right? You got to get committed to hearing. Yes, you do. And listen what they say next. And Nehemiah, which is the Tarshish, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, ain't no time to cry and mourn, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord, of the law. Can you see? Them were some powerful words, don't you think? And the word of God is powerful all by itself, but everybody wants to dress it up, you know, and appeal to this and that and the other and all this, huh? You want to get these kind of people in. You want the rich and the famous to come in. You want the powerful to come in, and you mess around and you get some of them Epstein people in there, and what happened? Because you tried to be selective. Ezra wasn't selected, just the people of God. He just called the people of God, came together, and they stood at the reading of the word. Can you imagine you had to stand 6 hours? Lord, how many swollen feet did we have? Standing 6 hours to hear the word, because he read for the 6 hours. And the people stood, and they began to weep, because you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. That word will find you. They found out the sin that they had sinned against God through that word. Did you hear me? Don't you think that would make you weep? Don't that think that would make you mourn and be sad? Yeah, you don't think about those things, do you? But he said this. This is what he said. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be very sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What he tell you? Ain't no sense in mourning. Ain't no, don't mourn, don't weep, don't nothing. This word came forth to bless you. See? It came forth to bless you, change your life. This is what the word of God is being sent to each one of us. Every day we hear it, every day we stand in the midst of our churches or ministry or wherever it is, and we have a platform, we have a podium, we have a pulpit, whatever you want to call it. When you stand before it, somebody stand before it, it's for a reason, to bless you, to open up your eyes, to understand God more, to reach out and worship him more, to thank him more, to give him more honor. Because he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You don't have to worry about drawing or trying to find this person or that person to come in. I want these kind of people. I don't want no sinful people in. Well, those the kind God told you to go to. He tell you to go out there and find the rich and the famous or somebody that's already saved. Huh? This is why he wanted you to hear the word. See? He wants us today to hear the word. And when you hear the word, you ain't going to be sorrowful. You're going to ask him to forgive you for your sin because you found yourself in the word. See? That's the purpose. 6 hours. That's what I can't understand. You go to church, you can't stay there but 15 minutes. And you got to go. What did you hear? You done missed the important part, the part that fits you. Huh? You missed it. Huh? God wants you to hear all the words. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be sorry. Don't be all of that. Eat, drink, and be merry, so to speak. Not have a party. Now, he didn't tell you to have a party. He said, be merry. And when you be married, you're going to worship the Lord. That's what you're going to do. And this is what he wants. Men and women that's going to worship him, glorify him, magnify him, lift him up. Those are the people he's looking for. Those that have the faith of God operating in their life. This is what he's looking for. This is what he wants you to do. This is what he, when he sang over you and when he just say, look at my child, look at my child. He just honor you because you are worshiping him. See? And you ain't up here weeping and crying and, oh, you just cry, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus. He told you to do what? Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions, give somebody else some. Give some, pass some joy over. Pass some joy to somebody else. Huh? Well, can't you do that? Are you so miserable till you can't smile and want to make somebody else happy? Why do people want people to be sad all the time? Misery loves company. Remember that now. You miserable and you want everybody else miserable. That is not the way of God. It's to make somebody miserable cause you miserable. He told you to pass some of what you got. Pass it to somebody else. Give them that they ain't even been prepared for this. They wasn't even here to hear this word. Now you pass it on. Do you understand? And we don't never want to pass it on to somebody else. We want to keep it all for us. We're so selfish. We want to keep it all to ourselves. When God is doing what? Saying to you, do what? Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Huh? For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be very you sorry. For the joy, now you know you like that. You done heard that many times. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want some strength? Get some joy. Come on. Now, when you get some joy, you pass some on to somebody else. Stop holding it all for yourself. And why everybody want to be saved, but they don't want to tell nobody else to get saved because they don't want them to have no joy? That don't even make sense, do it? That's not according to the word either, is it? Come on, think about it now. Think about it. Lord, how selfish the people of God is today. Huh? Now, if Ezra gonna stand up there about 6 hours and read the word and told you to stand while he was reading the word, honey, you'd have less people in church today if you told them people to stand for 6 hours. They don't want to stay in church an hour no more. Not only that, they don't even have the church position like Nehemiah and Ezra those had it, a position, had the platform, huh? The pulpit is, the Bible he'll say, called it the pulpit. We call them everything else, you know, all kind of things we call them. For what? But it was set up that way for a purpose. You don't have no altar call because you don't have an altar. See? So our structure is not structured the way God had it planned for. Like the pulpit is in the middle of the church, right? The building. And it's high up over the people so that the people, the Bible says, so that the people can see. See the preacher, see the priest, see the scribe, see whoever it is got the word. Do you get it? So we have altered everything that God had placed. And then we wonder why the church is in the position that it's in, and the way and the situation it's in, all kind of silly stuff going on in the church, unholy stuff is going on. You're letting these politicians in with their agendas and whatever, all that. I had this one come in, the nominee for this and the nominee for that. They ain't saved. They just looking for votes. But you altered the church for that. It's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be the house of prayer, if anything. See, that's what he said. Okay? And that's why Ezra had to read the book. You don't forget. We need some Ezra's to write up and tell you what the Bible says, the book says, the book that you don't want, that you think is just, it ain't real, it ain't this, it ain't that. Is you real? You here, ain't you? It talked about you and how you got here. You real? Do you think you real then? Tell me something now. Tell me. I may be off track here. Tell me if I'm wrong. Because of the fact is this, God had his ministries, churches, and what have you. He had everything set up in a special way. His altar was set up. The pulpit was set up. They made the pulpit so that Ezra could get up on it and be above the people and to read the word of God to the people. Now, he didn't say he preached, he read. I know you see, if somebody sit up and just read the book, you think they crazy. When he gonna preach? Well, he read you the scriptures, didn't he? Uh-huh, got you that time, didn't you? Didn't get that one, did you? That ran over your head. He got up and he read 6 hours. See? He read the book, the law, the book of the law that Moses wrote. He read it to them. 6 hours they stood at attention to it until they started to weeping because the word found them. Do you hear what I'm saying? He didn't have to do, don't get up and I got to have this elaborate words, of intellectual words and fancy words and all of that. He didn't have to go through all that. All he did was read what was already written in the book. Thing is, we veer from the book these days so much until we ain't got nobody crying. We ain't got nobody repenting. If anything, they go out the same way they came in. Dry. You see? No liquid in them. No moisture, no tears. Come on now, just talking, you know. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. He gave you one word. This is what's one word I'm called. For you to have strength. Joy. Joy. See? Just joy, joy. How you attain joy? Listen to the word. And after you listen, he say, eat the fat of the word. Eat the good part of the word. You know that part that hit you? You know the part that just opened your eyes? And as he said in the scripture, he gave you some sense. He say, and gave the sense to understand the reading of the word. See, he done gave you the understanding for the reading of the word. When the man read the word, you're supposed to understand because God opened up your understanding. If you sit there and be attentive to the word, then you get understanding of the word because God certainly will give it to you. That's what the scriptures say here. You didn't know that, did you? I know you didn't. I know you. Now you got it. You got it? You got it? Now send it to somebody else. Talk to somebody else about it. You know, share what you learned, what you heard. Share it with somebody so that they can get that joy that you know they don't have. You know you got friends, family, you got a whole lot of people looking ugly all the time because they mad and miserable and they mad with you because you happy. You ever seen your family mad with you because you happy? You ain't running around with your lip hung down to your knees? Mad, poked out mouth? Huh? You're not doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it? Huh? God has made a way. That's why you have to respect the house of God. You are to respect the minister, whether you like them or not, you respect them. That is what required. You may know some rotten things they doing, but let me tell you, you respect them because they standing behind the pulpit that God put there. You got to respect that if you don't respect anything else, and God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of him now. You ain't got to worry about that. And you don't have to do nothing to try to hurt him. Do you see what I'm saying? You get there after a while. Yeah, you get there. So the Levites still all the people saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be you grieved. You ain't got nothing to be grieved for because the word just came. do you see what he, what is he telling you? Huh? When the word comes, that should do what? Wipe away all your tears. Whatever you're grieved about, whatever you feeling low about, whether it's your self-esteem or whatever, you should always respect God, respect his property. Huh? You know, I believe this. You ought to respect the seats in the church because they're supposed to be holy too. Well, thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you, there was a time. I made sure the chairs and everything in the church was holy because when we had prayer, all night prayer and everything else, we prayed over everything in the church, everything, the chairs and the pulpit, the seats, the bathroom, the glasses, the offering container, everything. It came to this point. We kept prayer over everything in the place. And listen, and when somebody needed help, I would take something out of the church and place it in their church for to bless their church. Now, that's what I did, but you know, I give one of my offering, nice offering bucket, to somebody because they were in a, what shall we say, a place where had been sold on the demons. It was a demon territory. And the whole place was, you know, messed up. So I brought it in. I brought it to them, to their house, their church, and gave it to them. You know what they did with my offering bucket? They made a flower pot out of it. I say, well. You know I was a little outdone. Yeah, I was a little outdone. I say, this person don't really know nothing, you know, praise God. I was a little outdone, but I'm trying to bless your house and get it delivered from them demons that was there, and you knew they was there. The ground had been, dedicated to some demons. It was a cult of demons or something had been dedicated, and I'm trying to help the person. Okay. I was so outdone, y'all. Y'all, excuse me. I was outdone that time. That's been a long time ago now. It's been a very long time ago. And it just came back. I had really forgot about that time. But yeah, I thought about it then when I'm talking about this lesson of the house of God and the platform that God put there. And when God put a platform there, it's for those ordained people that he has ordained to be there and to use that platform, do you see, so that the people can hear what thus saith the Lord. And this is why it's there. You know, glory to God. Many people don't know why it's there because they just take it for granted. Well, this is just a church and a building. It ain't just a church and it ain't just a building. Do you understand? You should have pride in how God has set you in the midst of something that he built. His word built. Do you see what I'm saying? His word built. The word built it. That's what it was. Read Nehemiah the 8th chapter. You'll find out that that's what God has built. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great merit because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Oh, my God. See, when you get understanding of the word, you can do what? Eat and drink, give somebody else some, be married. Why? Just because you understand the words that was declared unto you. Huh? Do you understand the words today, my friend? Do you understand the words that I'm saying? Respect the house of God. Respect the man or woman that's standing behind that pulpit. Respect that. See, They had Nehemiah there building the wall in that situation. But Nehemiah didn't have the word. Ezra had the word. The platform was made so Ezra could do what? Share the word with the people that they may hear and understand what God is saying. You have a responsibility to show people what God is talking about and saying. That's your responsibility now that you've heard the word. It's your responsibility. You can't throw it off on nobody else. Because he gave you the understanding at that time, 6 hours. Now, you 6 hours and you ain't getting nothing. Well, some reason your ears either stopped up or you a little mental. Something had to be wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? Something would have to be wrong. But I'm just about to I'm going to go a couple things because I want to add this in here. We're going to have the Festival of Booths one of these days. I've been trying to prepare for it for a long time. Okay, but let me talk about that. Okay, after that, this is what happened. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Everybody was there to understand what God was saying. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Okay? We did have the, we had a little bit of it, didn't we? We had a little bit of the festival booths, the Festival of Booths. Okay, they do have a Festival of Booths. It's beautiful, y'all. And we did have it once before, and I've kept little notations of it and things that we can go further. And let me tell you, with the Festival of Booths, there was blessings bestowed upon the people. See, when they came into the Festival of Booths, God, you go in with what are you looking for God to do for you? What you want God to do for you? And when they enter into that booth, let me tell you, their blessings are manifested to them. Isn't that wonderful? We thinking of that. We've been talking of that for a little bit more. You know, one more scripture and I'm through. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches. See, that's what you got to make the booth with. Olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. You see, and so forth and so forth. It's more about it than in Nehemiah. You know, it's more about it, about the booths there. Just the booth. You know, we made us a little thing and tried to put a few, we put a few branches on top of We got some tree, we pull out a few and put on top of that. And to make it more authentic, you see, and then the blessings of God came forth through that time. All right? We did that. You know, and it was beautiful. I'm thinking about it now, and it makes you want to go do it again. But I just want you to understand the word of God. Understand it. Look, if you don't have sense enough to understand it, ask God to help you understand it. Okay? To give you a new mind that you may understand the word more fully. Everybody can get more. I can get more. I'm still asking for more and more and more. Yeah, I'm greedy. I want more and more and more. You see? Yeah, I'm not trying to compete with nobody. We're not supposed to. Did you see Nehemiah and Ezra competing? They weren't competing. Each one of them had their own gifts, what an assignment that God gave them. And what did they do? They used it. Do you get the picture? Each person has an assignment, and they have to use it. He ain't looking for you to use somebody else's. Use yours. Huh? Because they all do what? Bind together and make one. They all come together, and everybody's happy. Should be happy then. I know I get happy when somebody worked with me. I love it when somebody worked with me. We can get more done, too, can't we? Y'all ain't nobody answering. Ain't nobody saying nothing today. My. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. All right, I'm through right now. Praise God. That's the platform today. God gave me a platform, and I use it. Okay? He gave me a platform, and I use it. Yes, I don't mind telling somebody about Jesus. I don't mind telling you about what he done for me either. I don't want to tell you how he brought me through, brought me out, brought me over, any way you want to call it. I just love to talk about Jesus. Hey. Hallelujah. Go on.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for the word from the woman of God. I tell you, she had so many different points in today where, you know, we talked about unity coming together. Even though there were so many people, they all had one purpose. And the purpose was to what? To get it right with God. Because if you look at the history with Nehemiah, where if you even go before Nehemiah, when David wanted to build a temple for the house of God, and Solomon, his son, built it. But then, and how it was such a beautiful ceremony where they were dedicating the temple unto God, and how they were repenting of their sin. And it's in the Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, where it was they were going through different ceremony or prayer and sacrifices unto God, and they did not hold anything back from the house of God. Each person had their responsibility, whether it be the wood, whether it be the gold, whatever it is, they all took part in building the house. And when they had built the house, they dedicated to the Lord, and they pray that the Lord would accept that the house that was built with hands. And when we talk about Nehemiah saw the condition, because they went through a process. Nehemiah saw the condition, and Nehemiah, God opened his heart, because unless God open your heart to see and give you the zeal and the strength and the vision, you won't see anything. So God was behind it when it came to Nehemiah, of the building, rebuilding of the temple, because it was torn down. Why was it torn down? Every time they forgot God, every time they walk in their own way, God allowed the enemy to come in and take them out. And it's to bring you even in today. Every time we allow the enemy in, it's like things get tore down, things get in a shambles. But then when God opened our eyes for us to pay attention around us, and we realized that what? There was sin in the camp. You can say, well, the person said, well, I didn't sin. No, the sin we mostly look at is the manifestation of the fornication and adultery. We mostly look at those. But then there's other things, too, that we forget about when it comes to the house of God. Oh, God, we don't put him first in everything that we do. We say we do. But when you look, if you go under a microscope, because you know now, when you say something, Jesus, now that the all-seeing, all-knowing, his eye sees all things. He sees in the dark. He sees things that is hidden. He sees all, the whole thing. But the thing is, he'll bring you into a place to show you, no, You have not been bringing everything to me. You did not put me first in everything. And Nehemiah was, the thing about it is, they took time to go over the word of God. They took time to read the law of God to see where they have missed it. And they bring the people back into a place of restoration, back into a place where they can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because they have went away from God and went into their own ways. When with the world system the way it is, if you don't pay attention, or there's not a priest or a prophet or an apostle or a pastor reading the word of God, letting you know the condition you're in, the condition of the timing we are in, you will not pay attention. You'll get swept up away by everything that's happening around you. And people, even today, even with the with what's going on with the young, the cupcake little girl, I mean, I heard a report on that, how people, God said to forgive, right? But people allowing that hate to come forth for the person. We are to hate the what? The devil. We need to hate the what? The evil that is in the world. That's what God wants us to hate. Hate the act. But we have to watch it when we use the word, I will never forgive a person. Because you know what? The word of God let us know what? Unforgiveness will not make it in the kingdom of God. We can hate what they're doing. Just like he tell you, we can hate the what? The devil. The move of the enemy. We can stand up against that. Don't say you hate the person, but say you hate what? The action. Because God loves us, right? But he don't like when we walk in error. He hates the sin. He hates what when we walk contrary. But he loves us. And we know there's always a consequence for the things that we do. There's always a consequence. And then he talks about when they read it, God gave them the understanding. And we need to God to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to his word. Break it down so we can understand it. If he doesn't break it down for us, your understanding won't come. And we ought to ask him for what? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And when we were reading, when the woman of God was reading, and it's talked about verse 9, when it says that when the word, that this is the day, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. They realized the condition they were in. They realized that they were in a so far away from the promises of God. And when God bring you to that place of repentance, and you're truly sorry for everything that you have done, they wept. They make the change. Besides tears coming forth, they start making the change. They start doing something about it. Sometimes some people, tears come down, but there's no change. Nothing has changed on that. But when you're truly convicted, there is a change. When you're truly sorry, there is a change. But then he told them what also, this hold your peace, verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace. In other words, you know, this day is holy. You're getting it right with God, but this day is holy. Hold your peace. For the day is the holy, neither be ye grieved. In other words, yes, you recognize the condition you're in, but today he's turning your mourning into dancing again. He's lifting up your sorrow today. You recognize the condition, how far you have went from God. You know how some, like the prodigal son, when he leave his father's house, right? And he wanted his stuff. Why? He did not want to abide by the rules and the regulation of what the father's house represents. But he went away. He asked for his riches. And then he splurged and he did everything he wanted to do. And then he found himself, in the pig's pen. He was in a low place, and when he recognized the condition he was in, he came to his right mind and say, wait a minute, I can go back. My father has servant, they have food, they have riches, they have this. When he came to himself, he didn't allow that pride any longer. He had a repentance heart, because when he saw that he was in the place of a pig, you know, pig is such a nasty animal. They eat, right? They eat. Imagine the pig pen, the mud. There's no grass, y'all. The pig take their little nose and they dig up any little thing in any grass. And then it gets muddy. And then it gets slippery and muddy. And imagine when the person come and throw the food. There's nothing in the keeping the food from the dirt. Or the pig, you know, number two. There's nothing keeping it. So he was in that kind of state where he was hungry. He was trying to compete with the pig to eat. And he came to his right mind. And it's the same thing. When we stray so far from God, his precept, and we come into a place that we realize that we need him more in our life. Sometimes you're in a place that things that you say you will never do in your life, you find yourself in that position. But then God is such a merciful God, he'll have a Nehemiah or Ezra to speak the word of God again and remind you of all his promise and remind you that he's there for you and remind you that you can turn from your wicked way and look to him. It to remind you that God is an awesome God. He don't forget you. You know, he was just waiting on you to recall out to him, and the people did not have to be grieved anymore. Because what? When you realize you sin against the God of the heaven and the earth, the one that created you, and he had mercy on you. When you realize how far you have came, and the fact is he did not take you out in your mess, but he allowed grace and mercy to come your way. And they had come to a place when they could what? When the word of the Lord came forth, happiness was there. Understanding was there. Love was there. They were rejoicing. And the joy that was promised came forth for them. And then I'm reminded also in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and they said he always talked about in a parable. And can you imagine in the Old Testament, it took the Ezra, and for God to open up the people understanding, for them to understand the word. Because when you read St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verse 36 said, and then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tear of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And verse 39 said, the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And verse 40 says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The 41 verse says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offended, and them which do iniquity. Now imagine he giving the parables, right? And sometimes you have to ask God, open up my understanding to so I can understand what the man or the woman of God is preaching. Because you know what? Our mind is so dark that the enemy don't want you to catch the word. And you don't want the word to fall on a stony ground, right? You don't want the word to fall someplace else that by the time you walk out of the church, the word already left you. Everything that you sit while the word was coming for and the Holy Spirit was convicting your heart and you promised God. But as you walk out the door and just get home and have dinner and watch TV, you forget Monday morning what you promised God. And you don't want that to happen. So it talks about here that he had to break it down. Jesus had to break it down for the disciple, for them to get the understanding of the word. And it's the same thing for us. He has to give us what the understanding, break it down to the commonest, that simple, that even a child could understand. Because sometimes, you know, we're not so bright in catching what the word's saying. But we have to ask God to give us the understanding. Touch my mind. Touch my ears, Lord, that I can hear the word, but not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, and help the word to stay in my heart. Heart, Lord, that I may meditate on your word day and night, that I may not sin against thee, that I, what I promise you, Lord, that I will keep that promise in my frontlet, that I will not forget what I have promised you. You got to even be personal with him and ask him to keep you, that you don't forget the word, that you don't get caught up with everything all around you and you forget to put him first in everything. You know what? Life is busy, busy, busy. But if you don't take the time, God gave me a talk. He said to give him the tenth, right? And it's 24 hours in a day. So we need to give God 10% of our time. So would that be what? 3 hours. 3 hours, right? Give him 3 hours of the day. Break it up an hour. An hour and an hour. Because we don't pay attention to that. We get caught up with so much thing. And that is the enemy. He wants you to be so busy and you what? If the day's over, you did not accomplish anything. So remember, y'all, we want him to do what? We want him to lead and direct us, so we won't be lost. So remember now, ask God to give you the understanding. And don't get so caught up with everything. Sometimes you got to tell the person, you know what? As a matter of fact, don't even answer the phone. When it's your time with God, just meditate on the word. Amen. Give God the time. Amen. If you have to get up extra early, because to me that's the best time, just to read. Because by the time you get up and do this and that, there's always work to be done all around you. It's never enough hours in the day to do. When you look around, this got to be done and that. So you know what? Give God the first part of the morning. And if he put the word in you, prepare yourself. So remember, they had to do what? They had to hear the word of the Lord. So remember now, the enemy, he liked what? He likes to come in and take the word of God from you and get you so caught up in everything else but what you promised the Lord you would do. So today, remember now, we ought to walk in the spirit of unity. Unity don't mean I agree with what you want to do all the time. Unity mean what? We all have a same goal, and the goal is who? Jesus Christ. We all serving the same God. We may have different ways of doing it, but we're serving what? The same living God. So remember, allow the love of God Christ to come into your heart, because he told us these days they're wicked, y'all. It is such a wicked day, but don't you step down to the wicked people and start saying things that God is not, don't want you to say. We are in the world, but we should not be in here, in the world. But we should not act like the world. And the enemy will trick you. Before you know it, something coming out your mouth. And you're agreeing with everything like the world is saying. Remember, use the word of God. In situation, if you use the word of God, you will not be condemned. And you will not walk in the spirit of error. So be blessed and know that God loves you. And we do too.
Yes, 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 yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for that awesome word today coming forward from Apostle Porter and Pastor Sharon. What will be your platform today? Are you going to share? Did you get any understanding of the word that came forward today? I know it touched me. I'm glad for the word that came forth because you know what? That was a conversation that came up as far as what takes up, you know, your time. Everything takes up your time. And that's what the enemy's job is to do. Bring all kind of distractions to you to keep you away from the word, to keep you away from meditating and spending that time with God. So today, get some understanding in the word. When you go to church, hear what the Lord is saying. Tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That calling number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit, and you can hear each and every broadcast that Apostle Porter has put out there. And she has been there since 2009. So you know it's some awesome word that came forth. Now, tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference line. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. You would like to bless the woman of God, sow a seed in her life, sow a seed into the radio broadcast. You can visit our site at logianinternationalministries.com and hit the donate button. Know that no donation is too small or too great. That's logianinternationalministries.com. That's LOGION. internationalministries.com and hit the donate button. You can also send it to the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. That's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things
start happening.
I had to realize that it's not my battle, I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah. As soon as I stop worrying,
how the story is,
I can let go.
I let go
and I can let God. Let him have.
Let God.
He can handle it all, yeah.